Let's go in-depth on Iowa State with the Des Moines Register.
It's time
for Cyclone Insider on 1460 KXNO.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Insider Radio Hour from the Des Moines Register here on 106.3 FM and 1460 KXNO. I'm Travis Hines, here with Randy Peterson, coming to you after an Iowa State bye week. The Cyclones have Kansas State on the road on Saturday at 6:30. 3-2, 1-1 in the Big 12. Randy, it felt a little low key today, which surprised me a little because to me, and I think you agree, the stakes are incredibly high for Iowa State right now.
Yeah, Iowa State's got 7 games left. Obviously, the goal or whatever, we talked about college football playoffs, that's out. That ain't happening. But there's still a definite shot to get back to the Big 12 championship game. And I saw people on social media over the weekend, and they're probably they had to be Texas fans, saying that they would love to see a Texas-Oklahoma rematch of what was a great game in the Big 12 championship game. And I give you the fact that it was a great game. Yeah, so Iowa State is one of the few teams. Iowa State, Oklahoma State, Baylor, I guess you throw Baylor in there. I mean, in there that can rock that ship, get a tiebreaker. But to get back to the Big 12 championship game, Iowa State's got to go. I wrote they've got to go 3-0. They've got to go 3-0 in these games, and that starts at Kansas State, where they haven't won since, a long time. They've lost 17 years in a row.
2004 was their last win in Manhattan.
Yeah. And a lot of goofy stuff happens there too, by the way. But
yeah, and I mean, I think, coming out of a bye, I went back and went through it. They were 2-1 last year coming out of a bye. Obviously, the one loss was at Oklahoma State, that close game. But under Campbell, they're 3-4 coming off a bye week, going back to 2017. So the question is how do you feel like this bye week could have been beneficial for them? It sounded like they kept things pretty well standardized from a regular game week. But I do think some regrouping, some refreshing was probably important for them given, they did not expect, I don't think, to be going into that bye week with 2 losses already.
No, not at all. And I'm guessing there's a ton of running. There are a ton of reps to the, to the backup running backs, for example. I'm guessing Breece didn't get a lot of on field stuff over the, last week. I'm guessing Brock didn't either, and Charlie Kolar continues to heal whatever was wrong with his ankle or foot. And Campbell made a point today to talk about, though. He said it was a great time for the young players to continue to push the veterans for playing time. And that's something that this program hasn't seen in a long time we started to see it last year, is the young guys pushing veterans, like I said, for action. I mean, and showing that they deserve to play, because that's what Iowa State's going to need going forward. Because like I said, Iowa State's got to go, they've got to go 3-0 in the next 3 games to realize that goal of getting, or at least for the getting back to a Big 12 championship game for a second year in a row, is in the conversation at least.
Yeah, and I think given the 2 losses already and the level of preseason expectation that this team had, given the 9-3 record last year with a Fiesta Bowl championship, it's kind of Big 12 championship game or bust at this point. I don't know that it's win the Big 12 championship or bust, but I think any season that does not end in Arlington in the first week of December, I think it's going to be hard for anybody to look at that as anything other than a disappointment for Iowa State. And to your point, I think it is almost imperative that they go 3-0 to finish October, because then you're getting, Texas and Oklahoma in November. You probably don't want to have to go into those games having to split them.
Having to win them both. Yeah.
Because as we go, you look through, 3 losses is probably not going to get you, almost certainly not going to get you into the Big 12 championship game. And 2, is probably good enough, but not guaranteed.
Well, no, it's not guaranteed. It depends on who the two losses were against. You know, Iowa State, if Iowa State and Baylor should tie, Baylor holds the tiebreaker. I mean, now it's all about tiebreakers. That's huge. If Iowa State beats Oklahoma State in 2 weeks, which is a team I think can contend for contend for a spot in the Big 12 championship game, Iowa State's got the tiebreaker against Okie State. Iowa State, a week later, I think it's a week later. No, 2 weeks later. If Iowa State, 2 weeks later, can beat Texas, Iowa State's got the tiebreaker against Texas. So I can't stress how important that is. And like I said earlier, crazy things happen at Kansas State. I mean, it's just been a nightmare down there for Iowa State. Whether it's the weather conditions, whether it's Brock Purdy being hurt and playing on a sprained ankle in whatever year that was, 2019, or the refs in that one game. I don't get on the refs very often, but man, when the referee towards in the fourth quarter at a stage when a number of penalties were going crazy for Iowa State, and when the referee walks over and shakes Bill Snyder's hand, that was, man, I don't know about that one. But, and I get what he was doing. I mean, probably the last time he was going to see Snyder on the sidelines or something. But it just crazy things have happened down there.
Well, then, Randy, let's pivot. We talked about the big picture. What stands out to you about this K-State team and how they might match up with Iowa State?
Special team. Two words. Two naughty words. Malik Knowles, he's number two in the country in kickoff returns. He's averaging 55 yards a kickoff return. He has kickoff returns for touchdowns in the last two games. And oh, by the way, against Oklahoma and against Oklahoma State. So that's where you start. Kansas State is a program since 2015. Kansas State players have returned 13 kickoffs for touchdowns. Let me say that again. 13 kickoffs for touchdowns.
That's a lot.
Since 2015. But just two of those have come against Iowa State. Against Iowa State. So, yeah, that's a ton. I mean, and so that's two coaching staffs. So that's two coaching staffs at K-State, and it's been three coaching staffs since Iowa State won down here. McCarney won, Rhodes did not, and Campbell hasn't won. So I just thought of that one as we're talking.
How dare you have Gene Chizik erasure here?
I forgot that it was Chiz's year. Yeah, that's right. I'm not saying Chiz recruited good players. It's just a matter.
No, he didn't win down there, right?
If they haven't won, maybe it would have been Chiz. Yeah,
so it would have been 07 and 08.
McCarney. It would have been McCarney.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot about Chiz. That's right. Oh my gosh.
Blink and you missed him, I think.
Yeah. Boom. Back up the 2 men in a truck at midnight. But anyway, so Andrew Mevis we talked to Andrew Mevis today, the Iowa State's kickoff dude, and he's got nine touchbacks in a row. So, I mean, he kicked off nine times against Kansas in that 52-point beating 2 weeks ago. And so he really needed a week off, by the way. But, they were into the end zone. They were touchbacks. So he's got nine touchbacks in a row. He needs to increase that by however many times he kicks off on Saturday because his Knowles kid is good. And Iowa State has had problems on kickoff return teams like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, and maybe it's unfair, but I think it's reality, you can't have any confidence in Iowa State's kickoff coverage team, given what we've seen the last 2 years, right? I mean, it's just, you got to take that off the table.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you it was like watching Iowa State's kickoffs last year. You kind of cringe, cover your eyes. You don't know what's coming. Exactly. And especially when you're kicking off to one of the nation's top kickoff returners, you especially you're especially covering your eyes and especially watching, you know, curious about what's going to happen and knowing in the back of your mind that something bad can happen. And Mivas was straight up today. He said the only way that he said the best way to prevent that is just to kick it so he can't get it. And he didn't mean kicking away from him. He meant kicking it clean over his head. Because the dude will return it out of the end zone. He'll return it out of the end zone. So, I mean, you've got to kick it out of the end zone.
You're listening to the Cyclone Insider Radio Hour from the Des Moines Register here on 106.3 FM and 1460 KXNO. Travis Hines and Randy Peterson here talking about Iowa State's Saturday evening matchup in Manhattan, Kansas against Chris Klieman and Kansas State. Randy, I think one of the things I'll be interested to see for Iowa State is what does its offense look like coming out of the bye week? And not that I think that they're going to have made any wholesale changes or even huge tweaks or significant tweaks, but I wonder, we've heard so much about how Charlie Kohler and Breece Hall have been dinged up early this year. What do they look like now with a week off and more approaching 100% healthy? Because I do think, while it's maybe a convenient answer, I do think it's truthful in that when those guys have not looked their best, that Iowa State offense has not produced at a level I think we expected. And as that's changed over the last few weeks, yeah, I think we've seen that offense, I don't know if it's hit its stride, but it's certainly been more productive.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I don't think it's hit its stride either. Brock's been just a hair off at times. It was interesting. I don't know whether you were standing there when Charlie Kohler was saying some of this stuff. You may have been. Somebody asked him about Brock's confidence level improving when Kohler is on the field. And Kohler said that they've been worked together so long that Brock knows where Kohler's going to be, and Charlie, who can be funny sometimes in his own way, he said, and I think I know where Brock's going to be too, except on scramble plays, because I don't know where the heck he's going on scramble plays, and nobody else does either.
Brock Purdy will never live down that TCU fumble/interception, I think.
Probably not. Yeah, no, would probably not. But I don't know. What about the recovery of the fumble against Northern Iowa that saved the game?
I'm not saying so, like obviously he's had his Mr. success,
Negative.
But that'll never escape the discussion to one degree or another.
I know, but anyway, we're talking about Iowa State's offense now. They're healthy. They're healthy. Last year at this time, we were Trevor Downing was still day to day, or game to game, and he missed the whole season. He was midway through being game to game, and he's healthy. I don't know of any severe injuries at all right now. So I mean, this team is healthy, and they've got like I don't know. One of the players said something about they've got some. They went over some film of the losses or even bad plays in wins. They went over those. So that I thought that was kind of interesting as well during the break. So, yeah, I the offense has still not hit its stride yet, and the defense, I don't think they can play any better. But obviously, if you talk to John Haycock, he'll say they can.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is probably true with any offense where if you – mitigate two of your biggest weapons, you're all of a sudden your plans C, D, and E don't look as good. And I think that's a big part of what we've seen potentially from Iowa State because, you know, those first couple weeks, you know, Kohler didn't obviously miss the first game, didn't look like himself early on. But to me, the one that was even most noticeable was Breece Hall, you know, not breaking some tackles or not being able to run away from defenders that we've seen him do for, you know, over two seasons now at Iowa State. And I think what we saw against Kansas was him playing really with a violence, with a physicality that we had not seen from him before. And it's hard not to directly attribute that to him getting healthier. And I think if he can continue to stay right from a physical standpoint, you know, that makes that Iowa State offense all the more dangerous because when you have the rushing attack that he can bring when he's at his best, it just makes everything easier for everybody. And I think what you saw against Kansas, which obviously needs an asterisk because Kansas has not stopped anybody all season long, but the way that Hall was running was, to me, way more reminiscent of when he was at his best, certainly last year and even going back to his freshman year.
I'll go back a game earlier. I'll go back to Baylor. I mean, he had a career best 190 yards, 27 or so rushes, whatever it was. That's where I noticed that Brees was running with, like you said, with violence. He was running mad. I mean, it was a Brees Hall that I recalled from a year ago when he was in the process of gaining 1,572 yards. So yeah, that's the kind of Brees Hall that Iowa State needs to see going forward in these next seven games, and like I said earlier, particularly the next three that are the defining part of the defining rest of the season. The most defining, I think. And Brock Purdy's got to continue. Brock Purdy's got to continue to win in the month of October, but he's also got to do that. He's got healthy receivers. I mean, I'm not certain there's a receiver that's injured right now. So he's got healthy receivers. He's got everybody to his disposal. I don't see in the offensive line's playing well. I don't see any reason to think this line or the offense won't get better. I mean, there's still room for improvement, but it's certainly health wise, it's there.
Yeah, and I think too with the offense, they don't have to be putting up 59 points a game like they did against Kansas. The offense doesn't have to go out and win them games with what we've seen from Iowa State's defense. Iowa State's defense is going to do a lot of the heavy lifting. If Iowa State can improve its punting, if the offense can get just a little bit more efficient, you know, I think that's the pathway to success for this Iowa State team, because you know the defense is as good as I've seen it under John Haycock.
And that defense has a big part of what Brocktober been, the month of October has been. And I asked Mike Rose about that, and he said something cute at the time, but when you start to transcribe it, it might not be so cute. But I said, isn't the defense getting slighted during this? And he said it doesn't rhyme like Brocktober. And I said, okay. And then one of my colleagues, who just happens to be sitting across the table from me now, said, Brocktober doesn't rhyme, but it's cute. You know, but to which I responded, it's cute.
They need some more sloganeering in the defensive meetings.
they need some video on slogans, but they're too busy working on game film on opponents. But anyway, yeah, we're all way off the track here, but that's okay. Iowa State doesn't have any. There's no margins in these games. They've got to win. They've got the kicking to do it. If a field goal, boom, that field goal's been good. They've got the kickoff guy to do it, the offense to do it, the defense to do it. Iowa State's got to win on Saturday, must win on Saturday to keep this thing going, as we've said. And, you know, we'll see from there.
You're listening to the Cyclone Insider Radio Hour from the Des Moines Register here on 106.3 FM and 1460 KXNO. When we come back, we'll talk more Iowa State football as the Cyclones get ready to go on the road coming off their bye week with a game at Kansas State on Saturday evening.
Everything you need to know about Iowa State, it's Cyclone Insider with the Des Moines Register on 1460 KXNO.
Welcome back to the Cyclone Insider Radio Hour from the Des Moines Register here on 106.3 FM and 1460 KXNO. I'm Travis Hines. He's Randy Peterson. If you missed the first segment, we talked about Iowa State's upcoming game this weekend at Kansas State. We're going to zoom out now here in segment number two and look at coming out of the bye week for Iowa State. They're 3-2, 1-1 in the Big 12, the only win over Kansas. So I think, Randy, it's fair to say that this is still a little bit of an unknown commodity for Iowa State within the Big 12 after that loss to Baylor to open things up in Big 12 play back in September. At K-State, home against top 15 Oklahoma State, and then at West Virginia to finish out the month of October, or as Iowa State fans like to say, Brocktober. How do you look at this three-game stretch as anything other than pivotal? Because Iowa State's margin for error seemingly has vaporized here with that loss to Baylor, with that loss to now number two Iowa. Because anything short of winning these last three games of the month, to me, spells doom to Iowa State's larger ambitions within the Big 12.
Yeah, I mean the college football, making the college football playoffs is out of the is out.
It's not even a discussion.
It's off the table. I mean that's gone. And I'm not saying that wasn't a legitimate discussion at the beginning of the season. I mean, we weren't the only ones saying that. National media had Iowa State ranked number seven. So I think that the perception of Iowa State that was out there. And if Iowa State would have continued winning and started out number seven, now they'd have been right there, maybe in that number two or number three position. But anyway, they didn't. But so, and for that reason, yes, if Iowa State is to even want to think about playing in the Big 12 championship game, it's got to control its own fate from here on out. It needs the tiebreakers. How do you get the tiebreakers? You win. You're going to have a tiebreaker against Oklahoma State, for example, possibly. You're going to need a tiebreaker against Texas, for example. So, I mean, and if you should happen to go into the Oklahoma game unbeaten, that's all well and that's fine, because that's where Iowa State wants to be. So I guess these next, as you said, these next three games, if Iowa State doesn't go 3-0 in these games, it's over. I mean, it really is. I think it's really over, because I don't think Iowa State can afford to lose any of these next three games with Texas coming up. And yes, the Texas game is in Ames, but Texas isn't exactly playing horrible, and with Oklahoma down there. So I think, yes, the next three games are crucial that Iowa State wins.
Yeah, you know, just looking, Randy, since the Big 12 reinstituted the Big 12 championship game in 2017, three of the 4 years has included a two-loss participant. But I think the problem for Iowa State will be is if you lose one of these next three games, are you going undefeated in November? Are you beating Texas? Are you beating Oklahoma? I think your odds are greatly diminished in that area. So you're not looking at being a two-loss team anymore. You're looking at being a three-loss team. And that's why I think this month is so, so critical, because if you lose another game, you're in big trouble. And I think beyond that, if you're not a team that can go down and beat Kansas State at home, if you're not a team that can beat Oklahoma State – or excuse me, beat Kansas State on the road, if you're not a team that can beat Oklahoma State on the road.
On homecoming,
and win at West Virginia, you're probably not a team of a caliber of a Big 12 title game participant. That's not to say you can't get there in the month of November to play at that level, but all the games count. You know, there's only 12 of them, there's 9 in the league, and if you're dropping games in September and October, it makes the road ahead that much more difficult in November.
And then that's when you're playing for, you know, to see what kind of bowl game you're gonna get in, assuming you win six overall games, which, you know, after who knows how that's gonna play out. But then you're just playing for a solid bowl game as you can get, knowing that it's not gonna be anything like the most recent 2 years, because each of the last 2 years, Iowa State played in its best bowl game ever. You know, last year the Fiesta, and the year before that Camping World. So anything less than 3-0 in the month of October, that's really then lending every belief credence to this not being a season that people expected, and it being a disappointing season with however many games are still left.
Which, Randy, to get to the core of the question here, do you believe in Brocktober?
Good question. I guess I don't have anything to prove otherwise. Just by looking at history, I'm going under the assumption that at K-State, Iowa State's going to have to throw the ball as much as they can successfully, because K-State is number one in the Big 12 in rush defense, allowing 85 or so yards a game. Okay, granted, you can look at the competition and look at the last two games, which they lost against Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, where the running backs from those two schools both gained 100 yards. So maybe it is a product of who they're playing. But Brock Purdy's going to have a clean October, and we saw last year. Who was it against Oklahoma State? Didn't Brock not have the greatest first half last year against Oklahoma State down there, maybe?
Yeah, threw an interception,
yeah.
I think. I mean, the whole team kind of was not on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. So,
I mean, Brock had that drop that was just critical.
Yeah. Brock is the key to this thing. It's, and if, You know, we've already talked about Andrew Mevis as far as he's a key, but he is. But Brock is Brock's the every down key to this thing. He's got to have a strong October, and then obviously after that, he's got to go 3-0 in October. I'm not going to mince any words here. And he's got the receivers to do it. He's got the running back to do it. He's got the offensive line to do it. I would hope that Iowa State during the off week got it figured out. Because Brock Purdy, to steal a word from Campbell, it looks like Brock's just been a hair off some of the times this year. Other times he's looked spectacular. The long pass to Xavier Hutchinson, for example. He's passed in the end zone to Hutchinson, where Hutchinson tiptoed the
Kohler.
Kohler,
and then Skates had the long.
There's been obviously more good than not so good, but there's, like you said earlier, the next three games, there's no margin for error, and then let's see what happens after that.
Yeah, and I think too, when we talk about Brocktober, we're not really. I think that's more from talking about Brock Purdy being really good in October to Iowa State being really good in October. Mm-hmm. And obviously those two things are linked. But I do think, you know, we talk so much about how they've struggled. Iowa State has struggled under Matt Campbell in the first month of the season. And I think those two things are interrelated as well, in that Iowa State puts so much emphasis on getting better throughout the season. I wonder if some of that, if there is a lack of, this is maybe unfair. But I'm trying to connect dots that maybe just shouldn't be connected. But is there a connection between putting so much emphasis on being your best at the end of the season, where there is a permissiveness to not being your best in September? Where, and again, maybe this is unfair, and certainly the schedule plays a big part of, you know, Iowa State lost to the number 2 team in the country earlier this year. They lost to a good Baylor team.
And gave up the ball 4 times.
Yeah, and lost to a good Baylor team. But we have now, you know, essentially 5.5 years with only 2 games in September last year of data here, which suggests that Iowa State, relative to its schedule, relative to its opponents, is weaker in September than it is in October. And that's great for October, but when you're trying to put together a tapestry of a whole season, September counts just as much as October and November.
Yeah, and that kind of surprises me that Iowa State started, you know, shaky this season. It really surprises me, dude. You were in those press conferences, you know, those availabilities we had with coordinators, you know, throughout the fall, and the players. They were practicing ones versus ones. So I mean, the offense was practicing against a defense that was every bit as good or better than defenses that they'll see during this season. And the defense was practicing against an offense that, I presume in practice at least, was very sharp. So in my opinion, there was no excuse for beating, and I like what Mark Farley's got going on up at Northern Iowa, but I'm sorry, to win that game by 16 to 10, whatever that was?
13.
16-13? Yeah, so win that game by a field goal.
It wasn't 16-10.
Whatever, but anyway, to win it by one possession, that was surprising to me, and right there, that's what threw the red flag up. And losing the Iowa game, sure, I don't think anybody knew, even Iowa fans knew how good Iowa was at that point in the time. But somebody pointed this out to me today. Iowa is fourth in the nation in punting, okay, in number of punts a game. So this offense hasn't been great. Iowa State turned it over 4 times. I'm not saying if Iowa State wouldn't have turned it over 4 times in that game, they would have lost. But Iowa State has been close. But nonetheless, they weren't ready to play in those opening games.
And we'll see what they have the rest of October when they take on Kansas State in Manhattan this weekend. When we come back on the Cyclone Insider Radio Hour from the Des Moines Register on 106.3 FM and 1460 KXNO, Randy and I will talk a little bit of Iowa State men's basketball.
Everything you need to know about Iowa State, it's Cyclone Insider with the Des Moines Register on 1460 KXNO.
Welcome back to the Cyclone Insider Radio Hour from the Des Moines Register here on 106.3 FM and 1460 KXNO. If you missed any of the show earlier where we talked Iowa State football ahead of their matchup, really, Randy, a pivotal matchup in Kansas State this weekend. Be sure to check out the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And we're going to now pivot to talk a little bit about TJ Otzelberger's men's basketball program. Normally, we would preview the media day that Iowa State is set to host tomorrow, the first under Otzelberger. But obviously, late last week, some bigger news happened that kind of overtakes the on-court situation for Iowa State men's basketball. Xavier Foster, Iowa State's highly touted recruit from the 2019 class, was dismissed from the program. He is the target, according to Ames police, of a sexual assault investigation stemming from an alleged incident in October 2020. And Randy, I think, you know, obviously the legal aspect of these proceedings are far more important than however it affects Iowa State men's basketball. So I think it's important to point out the facts as we know them and the questions that bring up. You know, fact number one is there's an allegation from October 2020 against Xavier Foster for sexual assault. A search warrant was executed to get DNA from Xavier Foster in June of 2021. And on Friday, Iowa State dismissed him from the program, not citing any reasons other than a failure to live up to program standards. The questions obviously become, what did Iowa State know, and when did they know it, and how did they proceed, you know, given these allegations? And I hope we get some semblance of answers regarding that in the coming days, weeks, months. But certainly we don't have answers to those questions now.
No, exactly. And I think it's we need to emphasize that Xavier Foster hasn't been charged.
Absolutely.
Has not been arrested. And darn. And I believe what somebody told me Friday afternoon is that one thing is not the reason, the 100% the reason for the other. In other words, there may be extenuating circumstances beyond the investigation that resulted in Xavier Foster being dismissed from the team. We know he's not been practicing. We know that, but
according to the week earlier in the week was for health related reasons.
Exactly, and we know that he was coming off of the foot problem. But I don't know. We need to ask about that. And this is, you brought up TJ's first press conference as Iowa State's head coach. Man, if whatever it was, however many months ago when he was hired, I didn't ever, this was the last thing TJ thought he'd be talking about, what kind of questions he'd be answering during his first media day. But we still have to find out. We still have to find out when. To find out if there were other situations that resulted in the dismissal, what were they? What were they? And if it's legal, then just say I'm bound by legal things and I can't talk about it. If it's not, then go into it. And you read TJ's quote. I read TJ's quote. It's talking about the culture of the program that Xavier Foster, I'm paraphrasing now, did not live up to what the culture of the program that TJ and the staff wanted. Well, okay, what did he do wrong that not live up to that? And even one more thing. Did last year's staff know this? I mean, that's know about the investigation. I there's so many things that we need to find out. I don't know whether we will or not, but there's so many questions still left out there.
Yeah, there are obviously way more questions than answered. You know, certainly all we know now, there is an investigation. Xavier Foster has not been charged with any crime. And that's kind of where we sit in terms of that. He's no longer a member of the men's basketball program, but obviously there's still a lot to learn about this story. And certainly it's a difficult situation for every party involved, and certainly something that deserves the utmost seriousness, from everybody involved. I think to pivot to the basketball situation, independent of this situation, mm-hmm. with media day on Wednesday, TJ Otzelberger will not be the only person speaking. We'll also get to hear from Iowa State men's basketball players, some of whom we have never spoken to, which is the case of highly touted recruit, Tyrese Hunter, who presumably is going to be Iowa State's starting point guard here next month when they open the season. You know, to me, he's the number one player that I want to talk to, and I'm looking forward to hearing from. You know, Randy, for you, from a basketball perspective, what are the other players you're looking forward to talk to, and what are you hoping to learn, you know, as we get the unofficial start to the season with Media Day on Wednesday?
I want to talk to players that played last year, and there aren't many of them. George Henson was around, but he didn't play. About what?
Jaden Walker, Trey Jackson.
Jaden Walker and Trey Jackson, I hear he's practicing. Trey Jackson would be a good one, yeah. What, not having a point guard last year to get them the ball in good scoring positions, how that's going to change, and what they see possibly changing with Tyrese Hunter. Because I've heard good things about how he's driving into the lane and then he's finding the open player. And I get that. This is just practice. I get that. But that's going to be key, because this team last year couldn't shoot. And why couldn't it shoot? One of the reasons, underline the phrase one of the reasons, was because they weren't getting the ball in good scoring positions. There wasn't a true point guard.
So, I don't think there were very many true good shooters either.
That's very possible. Maybe I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. But that leads into what I'm saying now. TJ emphasized last week that Gabe Kauscher is shooting the heck out of the ball. More so like he shot in his first year at Minnesota than his second two or whatever. You know, he's shooting it better. But there's a difference too. It's in the Sukup practice facility. It's against your teammates. So there's a difference between Sukup and Hilton in that respect. So I want to get their thoughts on that. And with Xavier Foster gone, George Condit's going to have to play his tail off, or whoever plays in the post. And I've heard Robert Jones. Yeah, Robert Jones has been practicing lights out as well. They're going to need somebody, I mean, to play in the post. And they need George Condit to play like George Condit played when he was a freshman in the early part of his sophomore year. He's blocking shots. He's running the floor. It's like he's intimidating players from opponents from coming into the paint, which last year he didn't.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see with Condit, does having what we believe to be a true and talented point guard in Tyrese Hunter, mm-hmm. who obviously we've not seen play at this level, does that rejuvenate his game? Because obviously things have gone downhill for Condit since Tyrese Halliburton's injury in February of, what would that have been, 2020, where he and then essentially has not played with a point guard since. And, you know, obviously you can't explain away or excuse away Condit's lack of production since then, but it's hard for me to believe that there's not some relation between those two things. So I think that'll be really interesting to see. But Randy, that situation to me is just much like the rest of Iowa State men's basketball. We have no idea about what this team is going to look like. There's a new coach, there's a brand new roster, and it's a roster that a lot of the pieces are, you can see a path to them having success. You mentioned Gabe Kauscher, shot the hell out of the ball as mm-hmm. a freshman at Minnesota, over 40%. Jump shot completely deteriorated in his last two seasons at Iowa State, at Minnesota. If he's freshman year shooter, that's an all Big 12 player with the way that he plays defense. If it's not, okay, well, you know, what type of Big 12 player contributor is that? And I think there's question marks. You know, Tristan Inaruna, you know, didn't really see the floor a lot at Kansas, but obviously was a hugely highly touted recruit coming to Kansas. Can he find that path back to realizing that potential? And those are just two guys. I think there's those kind of stories at a lot of different
positions. And Blake
Hansen. Yeah, a lot of guys that have had success but also have had issues in sustaining that success. And if they can find their way back there, this could be a competitive team. If things don't go that way, you're looking at a struggle. And I think this team, more than any, is kind of, you know, we're going to talk about them for a month before they start playing, but it's really going to come down to, for me, you know, we got to see it before we really have any kind of idea what to expect, because it's a new coaching staff. It's almost a brand new roster, and everything is guesswork. And every preseason is guesswork, but this is at a whole new level, or a whole higher level of guesswork, because of the unknowns involved.
What TJ and his staff are doing, they're building blocks for the future of this program. And it looks like they've got him with Lipsy and some of the other recruits that they're getting. It's just building blocks. I was going to say double your number of wins you had last year. Well, they better do that. But you better have that done in the first month.
I was going to say by middle of December.
By first month. But anyway, yeah. Be respectable. You know, I'm not expecting Iowa State to – I think Iowa State fans would be pleasantly surprised to go to the NCAA tournament. But just be respectable, okay? Don't be blown out in games. I think that's all that they want to see.
This is the Cyclone Insider Radio Hour from the Des Moines Register here on 106.3 FM and 1460 KXNO. If you miss any of the show, be sure to check it out wherever you get your podcasts. For Randy Peterson, I'm Travis Hines. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.